Hallelujah. Okay, a little pop quiz. What did I teach on last Wednesday? I was here last, yes, and I did preach last Wednesday. Thank you, Steve. It's all coming back to us. Supernatural acceleration. So, hallelujah, we're going to learn more about that tonight. Glory to God. A little bit different look at it, but hallelujah, let's pray and we're going to get into the Word. Father God, thank you, Jesus, that you always meet us here, that your presence is in this place, your anointing is in this place. And I thank you, Father God, that it won't be me up here giving enticing words of beautiful speech or whatever, but Lord, that this will be your power, your ability, your words coming from the throne room of heaven. So thank you, Lord, that we receive them now by faith in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, hallelujah. All right, we're going to start off in Amos 9:13. We are in a time of acceleration, amen. We are in a time of acceleration. There's so many things happening in this world. There's so many things happening in the spirit and in the church and different things. And really, it's like we're on this hyperspeed type of thing. There's a lot of stuff going on at once. And the Lord addresses this. And God needs us to be in a place of this acceleration so we can get done what we need to get done right now on earth for the glory of God. We're going to go to Amos 9:13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, that the treader of grapes, him who sows seed, the mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and the hills shall overflow with it. Glory to God. Let's go into the NLT version also. And then we're going to go into the message also. It's good to kind of look and see what God is saying with these words, because this is kind of an interesting scripture here. The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain of grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards of the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. Okay, let's go into the message. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. Hallelujah. God decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. How many feels like that's been like the last 2 years? One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. I'll make everything right again for my people Israel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Like Brother Earl was saying, how yes, we could be thinking negative, we could be thinking that way, but God says there's blessings. There is blessings. Yes, there's a lot of things happening. Yes, there's but guess what? We got some good seed in the ground. Amen. We have that seed in the ground. I remember when Pastor Ricky and I were first starting into being pastors, and there was somebody that tried to talk to us about, well, you don't really have to do a sermon about the tithe all the time. And this was way before the coronavirus and everything else hit. And we're like, no. Jesus talked about these things. We're going to talk about these things. And I really feel everybody that was in our church that has been connected to our church has been hearing these words, we just flew right through it. Hallelujah. And we did. We saw these blessings. Blessings and blessings, like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. Hallelujah. And we're going to keep on seeing that because we didn't stop sowing seed. We kept on sowing seed. Amen. Hallelujah. Everywhere you look, blessings. Everywhere we look, blessings. It's interesting, in the NLT it says, when the grains and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. There's going to be a time when we're planting the seed, but God's already making that harvest come right on in. When they got right back to their house, they had a check in the mail already. Hallelujah. We just need to stand our ground. Amen. Hallelujah. Things are happening quickly. Yes, Pastor Ricky said we had, some of you might not know the story, but we had, God had placed on our heart to sew a gun to somebody, and our refrigerator was out for, 3 weeks or a month or something. And so we were going in and out of the garage trying to use that fridge, and that was old, and it's in the garage, and you could just hear it was not doing well. We're like, okay, we need to, Lord, okay, we got some, what do we need to do? We need to get some seed in the ground. And the Lord placed that on our heart. And really, this was accelerated so quickly back to us that we had a fridge. Within that week, we were able to go get a fridge. So hallelujah. Was it in a couple days or a week? We had the money that night. When we sowed our seed, and we had the money that night to be able to do that. So that's an example of that. Hallelujah. So we need to be acting on what God has called us to do. When He says do it, we do it. Amen? Yeah, we had to find the fridge. Go get a fridge because they were... Yeah, it was... Yeah, so... Glory to God. All right. Hallelujah. Also, last week, one of the last scriptures that I brought up was in Leviticus 16:20. Let's go there. We're going to look at this one a little more. Leviticus 16:20. This is basically all of the law being written out of how you need to go through these different things for atonement and different things that are happening here in Leviticus. So here they are talking about the scapegoat. And everybody, we've heard that terminology maybe in the English language of, oh, he's just the scapegoat. There's actually part of the atonement is having a scapegoat. And so let's start here. Verse 20, and when he had made an end of atoning of the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquity of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away in the wilderness by the hands of a suitable man. A suitable man. There was a man that had to kind of lead the goat out of the city, and then it just runs into the wilderness. Just as an example, as a type and a shadow unto us when Jesus took our sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he was separated from us, and he took it. That's an example of this. But we're going to focus on that suitable man. If we can go into the Amplified also and read this. They had to find somebody suitable. And actually, let's go to verse 21, because I'm just going to focus on that one word. There we go. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the Israelites and all their transgressions, all their sins, and he shall put them upon the head of the goat, the sin bearer. Hallelujah. And send him away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is timely, who is ready, who is fit. That man had one job, had one thing to do. He had to be timely. He had to be ready. He had to be fit to do what they needed him to do. We have to be timely. We have to be ready. We have to be fit to be able to do what God has told us to do in these times. Amen. We have to be ready. Let's go into the NASB and just in verse 21, if you have that back there. I think you did last week. And Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard and all their sins. And he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. Stands in readiness. Who stands in readiness? Are we standing in readiness? Are we ready to be able to show the world that there is a Jesus that can take away their sins and show them that? Are we ready? Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, so we're going to get into this acceleration a little bit more, but we have to be ready. Are we ready for this acceleration? Are we really ready for what God has for us? Because we're moving quickly. That means we need to buckle it on up. So we just buckle up. Let's get ready. We're going. All right, so six life situations that you might be in right now that we need to get right so we can move into this divine acceleration. We're going to look at our lives tonight. We're going to assess some things. Are we really ready for this acceleration? When you're getting on a roller coaster, you know, a little nervous, you hear click, 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 click. We're making sure everything's good. You know, your hair's all, and you got the seat. Okay, does the seatbelt really work? You know, we're really getting ready because you know that it will take off and it's going to take off really fast. So there's an example of are we ready because it's going to accelerate. Amen. Hallelujah. The first thing that we need to talk about is healing in our natural body. Healing in our natural body. We need to believe for acceleration concerning healing in our natural body. We do not have the time any longer to be waiting another 5 to 10 years and coming up to the altar every time we need to get things right in our life. That, Lord, if I need to do something naturally to be able to, for my body to heal, because how many knows that, you know, if you're believing for your lungs to get better or to breathe better, you can't keep smoking. Okay, that's just a natural example. If you're believing for diabetes to go away, you can't eat bad. Okay, that's natural. We know these things. We have to apply them to our life because God needs us here. Jesus needs us here to be able to do his work. Amen? So we need to believe for acceleration concerning healing in our bodies. How many times have we heard in Jesus in the scripture with suddenly, suddenly, suddenly? How many knows that's acceleration? Something that was supposed to take 6 months to get better, Jesus heals you suddenly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Also, there is a scripture. We can turn to John 6:63. Let's read this, and then I'm going to give a little definition here. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Okay, let's read this, and can we look up the King James Version? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Quickeneth. So the word quicken. To restore to life, gives increase, and with physical life, so gives increase thus of physical life, as respect to spirit, endued with new and greater power of life, it means to live, make alive, give life. That's what quickeneth means. And actually, when you add on the ETH, it means continually. Keeps on giving increase, keeps on restoring life. That's what the Spirit does. Hallelujah. I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It quickens. Amen. Let's go to Romans 8:11. We need to get some things right in our natural bodies and start believing for acceleration, for healing in our natural bodies and for other people that we're praying for. Amen. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, hallelujah, how many people qualify for that? But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you, who dwells in you. The King James Version. Let's read that version because I like one of these words that are in here. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. It quickens your mortal body. It restores to life your mortal body. It gives increase to your mortal body. A new and greater power of life to your mortal body. It causes your mortal body to live, to make alive, to give life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need to get there so we can be accelerating into the things that we need to. Amen. It's kind of like the other day we had my mom, it was Monday, we had my mom and dad over and we did some steaks and stuff and we went swimming and my mom was trying to swim over to the other side where I was and she's trying to move fast, but you know how it is when you're in water, you're feeling like you should be moving fast, but you're moving like slow-mo, right? That's what it feels like. And if we have some of these things holding us back, when God's trying to accelerate us and saying, oh, come over here, I'm on this side, and we have some things holding us back, it's going to be, okay, Lord, we're getting there, we're in slow-mo, but if we get some of these things under control, we're going to be where we need to be when God needs us to be there, amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, the second one is fear and failure. Fear and failure might be keeping us back from acceleration. So Elijah experienced a powerful victory at the front line of the spiritual battle for Israel. Then, when Jezebel retaliated and threatened his life, Elijah ran in fear. All right? So 1 Kings 19:1. This is kind of a long story. I have some other things I want to get to. But we're going to look at this for a second because I really do believe that fear does keep us back. A lot of the time. And sometimes we can't really see it until God reveals it to us, but we need to start seeing these kind of things. 1 Kings 19:1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Now, when they're talking about prophets, he's talking about Jezebel's prophets. He's talking about the false prophets that Elijah's just slain. All right, so let's go back to chapter 18. Let's just kind of walk back for a second. So 1 Kings 18, let's start with 13 here. Now, what happened was Jezebel tried to kill all the prophets of God. And there was a remnant of these prophets that were hidden away in a cave. So 1 Kings 18:13 says, was it not told, my Lord, that what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? Someone took them up that upon themselves, and I don't have this person's name right here in my notes, but someone said, hey, they know where the caves are. They had enough bread and water to be able to shelter and protect these prophets of the Lord. And that's what they did. Now, if we drop down to 1 Kings 18:19, Now they're going to have, now Elijah is going to have this battle between the God of Israel and the prophets of Baal. All right, so now therefore send and gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450. Now remember that number, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So we have 450 plus 400, so we have 850 total, which eat at Jezebel's table. Now we're going to drop down again, 1 Kings 18:39. So they had this, and you have to read the story if you have never read the story, but they have this big showdown of the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the Lord, the God of Israel. And they do things there, and but I'm not going to get into everything. But and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is the Lord. He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Verse 40, and Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let no one of them escape." And they took them. So 100 were able to overpower 850 prophets of Baal. And Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. So Elisha looked over at the prophets of the Lord and says, "It's time to take them. Don't let one escape." And that's what they did. That's acceleration. That is extra strength from God Almighty to be able to do that. Amen? So he comes out of this victory, of this amazing showdown of the God of Israel and the prophets of Baal. And all of a sudden, he hears in 1 Kings 19:2, let's go back over there, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah." So she heard about all this. Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. He was having suicidal thoughts. That's what we call that now. Modern times. He was having suicidal thoughts. He wanted to die. And said, "Is it enough now, Lord? Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." So he's having all of this. He comes out of this amazing victory for the Lord, and he hears one little message from a crazy queen, and it sends him down this terrible spiral until this place of suicidal thoughts and this very low place in life. 1 Kings 19:5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and he said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose, and he did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days, 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. He went in that strength of that 40 days and 40 nights. That supernatural strength, that supernatural acceleration into the next place in his life. From being in a place of suicidal thoughts, being in a very low place in life. And hallelujah, thank you, Lord, that we have the Holy Spirit with us now. Hallelujah. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. The Comforter. Helping us. Encouraging us. Amen? And he went in that 40 days and 40 nights. There in that place of apparent fear and failure and such despair that he lost the will to live. An angel ministered supernatural food and drink to Elijah. God hears us when we pray. He hears us. He sees those low times in life. And yes, there are some low times in life. We don't stay there. Amen. We don't waller in our, you know, that place in life. We get out of there. Hallelujah. There is sometimes things happen. Sometimes we do find ourselves in those places, but we're not going to stay there. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 John 5:15, because God hears us. God sees what's going on in our life. And if I could have the amplified with this one, please, Tiana. And if, since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us our present possessions, that request made of him. Hallelujah. He hears us. That if we know, and I have this translation here, I think it's the regular amplified, and if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that he hears and listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know that with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us the request which we have asked of him. He hears us. He sees us. He helps us out of there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This provision for divine acceleration enabled Elijah to travel 40 days and 40 nights nonstop to meet with God. From there, Elijah found Elisha and was launched into his next season in life. Thank God he didn't stay there. Amen? And we're not staying at those low places in life either, because God needs us to be where he needs us to be to get things done. Amen? The third thing is, sometimes we feel like we're stuck in waiting and maybe not good enough, all right? How many kind of feel like sometimes we're just waiting and waiting, and when is this waiting season going to be over? Moses spent 40 years living as a shepherd in a desert. Once upon a time, he had thought he could make a difference. Once he dreamed of delivering Israel out of slavery, he had ceased to believe it was possible. That is until Moses encountered God's presence in a burning bush. God revealed how it was now time to deliver Israel. In a short time, can you think of that? They were in slavery for 400 years. And in a short time, when someone stepped up to the plate, when someone said, okay, I will do this. I don't feel like I'm good enough. And that's what Moses did. If we go to Exodus 3:1, let's go to Exodus 3:11, actually, please. Moses comes across the burning bush, and they talk back and forth, and it's pretty powerful, everything that goes on here. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Moses was stuck in this period of waiting. He felt like he needed to make a difference, but he was stuck. And God came to him and revealed himself to Moses. Hallelujah. God will show himself to us. Amen. Moses had a problem. He still felt like he wasn't good enough. And sometimes in our life, we feel like, okay, I feel like I can make a difference here. But somehow we talk ourselves and reason ourselves out of what God has for us and what God needs for us to do. And we do not need to do that any longer. It is keeping us back from the acceleration where God needs us to be. Amen? And thank God Moses did what he needed to do. Hallelujah. The fourth one is consequences of sin. Consequences of sin sometimes feel like they hold us back. In Joel 2:25, this is addressed because Israel had sinned against God and found themselves in a very horrible place. And then God gives this to the prophet Joel. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Hallelujah. The cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I have sent among you. And you don't have to go to the next one. I will restore to you the years. And it doesn't matter what's eaten you away, the cankerworm or the caterpillar or anything else. God sees it. If it's been eaten away, then he's going to restore it. Amen. He's going to have this time of acceleration to be able to restore things. Hallelujah. That's what he loves to do, is restore and redeem. Restore things back to us. Maybe it was our fault. Maybe we did sin. Maybe we did some things that we should not have. We've repented. We have turned. Now we're walking this direction with the Lord. Hallelujah. And God says, I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten. Can be years and God can restore it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God the Redeemer and Jesus had paid the price for your mistakes, failure, sin, and shame. Even when sowing and reaping has taken effect, because it can go both ways, amen? Has taken effect on you and have suffered the results of sin. When you repent and turn to him, he can transform barrenness into fruitfulness, from poverty to plenty, from emptiness to divine acceleration of overflow. Hallelujah. Such is the power of his grace and forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 5. Sometimes we are held back by the choices of others. Maybe it wasn't our choice. Maybe it was somebody else's choice that was thrown on our life. Joseph, his own family mocked him, tried to kill him, put him in a pit, and then sold him into slavery because that wasn't working out like they thought. Sometimes we feel like we're held back from God's acceleration because of others. But know what? God will show you. Keep on walking, keep on doing, keep on keeping your heart right. Pastor Ricky talked about walking in love this last Sunday. Keep it right. Keep doing what God has told you to do. Don't lose that promise that God has told you. Don't get that seed of bitterness in your heart. We need to get those things out of us. We need to start walking in love. We need to start getting those things right. I really like this. Let's go to Genesis 41:14. Hallelujah. Talk about divine acceleration. Genesis 41:14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his clothes, and came unto Pharaoh. He knew it was time. It is time to get out of this place. I'm not going back there. It's time to shave up, time to clean up, time to change my clothes, time to step up. He's meeting with the king, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So from minutes, he had been in the dungeon, been in the jail, and then the next minute, he was shaving himself, getting ready to be in the presence of Pharaoh. Acceleration. Amen? Hallelujah. And not only that, it wasn't just a meeting with Pharaoh. He was the next in line. He was the second in command. Acceleration, divine acceleration. He kept himself right. Genesis 50:19-20. I love what he says here because it really shows his heart. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. He's talking to his brothers here, the brothers that tried to kill him, the brothers that sold him into slavery. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in a place of God? But as for you, yea, thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You can tell his heart. There's no seed of bitterness there. there was love there. He wanted to have a relationship with his brothers again. Hallelujah. So are we ready for this acceleration? Are we fit? Are we seeing some things in our own life that we need to get addressed so we can get in a place to get ready for this acceleration? Number six, are you running from God's call? Jonah 3:1. Sometimes in life, we hesitate to do what God has called us to do. He's telling us to do something. Working the babies. Love on those babies that we have back there in the back. They need somebody. You can hear it. You know that they need help back there. And he has put that on your life to be able to love on those tender little babies in the baby room or whatever it might be. You might be called to Africa. You might be called to do a food ministry. You might be called to help in the cleaning. You might be, I mean, there's so many different things that we need to be doing right now that God has called you to. Jonah 3:1, and we do know the story. Jonah in rebellion toward God got on a ship, swallowed by a large fish. Jonah 3:1, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Hallelujah. God's so merciful. God's full of grace. Amen. Amen. That he goes to us again and tells us again, I need you. I need you to do this over here. These people over here need you. They need to hear the word. They need to know Jesus. You're the one that's in their life. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I love that. Hallelujah. And this is interesting because Jonah was somebody that knew the Lord. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was somebody that God could rely on to get a message through to his people. And Jonah found himself in rebellion, direct rebellion against what God had told him to do, and found himself in a very dire situation. We do not need to be there. We do not need to be there. Hallelujah. Jonah did not just hesitate in the call of God upon his life. He ran from it in the opposite direction. And yet God, in his mercy and sequences of events, to set Jonah on track again. Then those grace-filled words, hallelujah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. He is the God of second chances, and even when it feels as though you have missed the opportunity that you were supposed to be fulfilling, that you were supposed to be at, that you were supposed to talk to this person, that you're supposed to be over there, you're supposed to be working over here, you need to be doing this for the Lord. His purpose, what he wanted you to do in life, it is never too late. We just pick up where we know the last words that God has told us to do. We pick those up and we keep on walking. Amen. Hallelujah. Through divine acceleration, he can bring you right back to where he needs you to be, not where you left off necessarily. But if you left off over here through sin, disobedience, rebellion, whatever it might be, you get dusted off, you stand back up, and you get right back where God needs you to be right then and there. That's where you are. You don't have to go through all that time and all those years that you missed it. You get right up, and you are right where God needs you to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Repent, return, and place your trust in him. Hallelujah. Because we are in a time of divine acceleration. We're going to be seeing our harvest come in quickly. Not just harvest with money or things. That's the very lowest of the idea. The harvest is people. The harvest is people, and we need to be in a place where we can be effective for people. Father God, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that we are just getting rid of all these things that are holding us back, Lord, that we're trying to get to where you are and to do the things that you've called us to do. But Lord, it's like slow motion sometimes. We're talking about acceleration, but Father God, sometimes in our life it feels like we're just moving in slow-mo. Lord, we just give all those things up. Anything that you've revealed, Holy Spirit, as we have heard the word tonight, you are revealing to us those things that we need to let go, those things that we need to get right, those things of loving others, those things of forgiveness, those things of health, those natural things, Father God. Lord, we give that up to you right now because you have a plan and a purpose for us to be able to be effective to the world around us. Because there is a harvest ready. And Lord, we are the laborers. Use us, Lord. Use us. We are ready. It is time for this acceleration. We see this acceleration happening, and Lord, we will be ready, we will be fit, and we will do what you need us to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, all right.